So we may have one or two latecomers, but welcome everybody to another one of our monthly summer information meetings, which is very much a informal discussion for us to share with you and talk a little bit about Soma and how we work with Soma and sacred mushrooms. My name is Anton.
I'm Rodianne.
And we also have with us a few experienced Soma watchers who will introduce themselves shortly after this. We have shared a short bio via email as well, so you've got some background of each person that will be answering questions and sharing a little bit about themselves and how they work. We're normal people with experience of working with sacred mushrooms. Some of us have more experience than others. Monica is more experienced than any of us. And together we have a cumulative span of knowledge, which will answer any of your questions about how we work. There are a couple of technicalities from a point of view of communicating for those that are new or not to Zoom. If you'd like to speak under the chat box normally, there is a point where you can wave your hand and maybe wave your hand if you want to say something, and we will follow that order of connecting to you. If you can't find the wave hand function reaction, you can simply wave your hand or stick it in the air, and we will move around to you and answer any questions that you have. Please feel free to interrupt as and when you're ready to do that. I'd like to hand over to each of the watchers so that they can share a little bit about themselves and who they are. And I'd like to start with Rodianne, who's right next to me. Rodianne is my partner. We live in Gardenia, about an hour out of Cape Town. How are you this evening, Rodi?
I'm very well, thank you for asking. It's quite difficult when I have to explain who I am when Anton already says, well, you know, I live with him here on a farm. Because, well, that's kind of what we do, and we're just making a homestead, if one can call that, and that's what's been keeping us busy for the last year, and we've recently moved, so that's really us. Other than that, I have quite a fair amount of experience working with mushrooms. My journey started many years ago, and it's something that I wouldn't change for anything. As I've said before, it's once you commit to working with Soma, your life just, I don't know, it just opens in the most wonderful ways. And I think it's different for everybody. So I'm not going to try and tell you what you're going to discover, but it'll be just tailor-made just for you, if I can say that. So that's me in a nutshell. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to see all of you. I'm hoping to see more of you in future, if that's the case, especially the first timers. And yes, I hope I can answer your questions this evening.
Thank you, Rodi. For the one or two latecomers, Aletta and Galaxy S10 have just arrived. The panel of Soma Watchers are introducing ourselves, and we look forward to hearing from you if you have any questions as well. Bianca, good evening, Bianca. How are you?
Yeah, thank you. Good evening. Hi. I actually got very little to say. I prefer to listen first. Yeah, let's see what the questions are. So for now, I've got not much to say. I'm based in Grotto Bay. And yeah, I'm looking forward to another nice information evening and see what we can learn from each other. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Bianca. Good evening, Roger, all the way from up in Limpopo. How are you this evening?
Well, yeah, what can I say? I can say that I had my first Soma experience at about the age of 50. And I suppose by that time in your life, you're asking questions. What's the meaning of your life? What's your purpose? And all that sort of thing. Apart from other problems that I had. It's been an amazing journey ever since. A lot of self-healing along the way, an amazing journey into your own spirituality, and I love doing this work because I know what it did for me, and I've seen the benefit that it's given other people. So good luck. Well done to all of you for being here tonight. For those who are here for the first time, hopefully this is the beginning of a journey for yourselves.
Thank you, Roger. We look forward to hearing more from you this evening. Monica, good evening, Monica, from Somerset West. Hi. How are you this evening?
Yeah, I'm okay. You took away my thunder. I was going to say I live in Somerset West. So, I've been living here for 35 years. So it's a long time. But while I was listening now to the watchers, us introducing ourselves, the thought that was going through my head was that you wouldn't know, those of you who are not involved with mushrooms, that there are many of us. There are many watchers. And we all have experience. We all have our own life that we do, the work that we do to support ourselves, our interests, our different kinds of qualifications, whatever that might be. But in the end, we are a group of ordinary people who discovered mushrooms and psilocybin mushrooms and the difference that it can make, a permanent difference and an ongoing growth that it brings as the months and the years go by. I was 62 when I discovered mushrooms for the first time. Sorry, wrong, 64. I was 64 when I discovered mushrooms for the first time. And that was a long time ago. That was in 2009. And I'm as interested, as deeply involved as I ever was. And in the process of those years, I have met the most marvelous people. I've had unbelievable experiences. I've learned so much just about life in all its many ways. History, weather, I mean, absolutely everything. You never know what is coming next. It's as though a summer comes in to live with us. And we are a group that work together doing soma work. And some people don't ever come here. We hope everyone will, but we wouldn't fit them on the screen if they all came. I guess we don't need that many. But I just wanted you to know that we are ordinary people, and we're not, there's no status or hierarchy that goes on in our group. Everyone has got something to say, something to offer. And we don't claim to be experts. We are kind of experts, I guess, in our own lives with mushrooms. But we don't make claims about being better than you guys that are here to ask questions.
Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Bianca, Roger, Rodianne. We look forward to hearing from each of you. We, as we refer to ourselves as watchers, have mostly all come through Monica's physical journey space in Somerset West. Mm-hmm. And through those experiences and through hands-on experiences is how we've learned to be with people and to watch over people that are going through a deep spiritual experience with sacred mushrooms. And we're going to talk about that this evening. And about what that experience is. What is a soma retreat? We're going to start off there. We're going to start off referring to that physical experience, so that physical gathering, which has now also transformed and mutated or evolved to the at-home experience, which has come from circumstances which arose over the last 18 months. And we responded to what we've been asked to do, and that is simply the question of, we would like to continue working with soma and sacred mushrooms. We cannot physically gather together. How can you help us to do that? And as watchers, we respond to that. And the watchers that are here are part of that response. We're part of a much bigger group. So we're going to share a little bit of information about both of those so that you gain an understanding about what we mean when we refer to a Soma at Home online experience, and what is that about, and how does it equate to a physical gathering, which is so valuable and is so important, and which we've all learned so much of the over 350 gatherings that there were in Somerset West with Monica, and then also elsewhere around the country. And what we've learned, how holding this group together can be done in an online digital kind of environment, with one of the keys as a sermon retreat being a group connection. It is an event where a group of people are coming together on a specific time and place. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where the understanding of place online being a place, it's a location which has got a digital connection, but on a specific time and place, and they're connecting with Soma and Sacred Mushrooms for a deeply mysterious and spiritual experience. And it's that randomness of the group that really takes it beyond our hands and works with that connection to this divine force, the sacred divine, which we as humans have no control about. So who is here for the first time? Who has not experienced mushrooms in that kind of environment before? If I could ask just from a show of hands to wave at the screen. There's always a few, it's often close to 50%. But there are a couple, Neil, Joanna, Aletta, thank you.
Okay. That is close.
It's always close to 50-50. And this community of people coming back is the other half who can, and they're invited to share from their own experiences as well for the rest of this meeting. Arthur, Yanis, Warwick, please, if the feeling comes up that you can answer a question from your own experience, because that's what we're doing as well, please do so. Rodianne, from your point of view, a Soma retreat, maybe give us a little bit more of an overview regarding, in simplified form, what is a Soma retreat from a physical point of view, and how does that add and grow to the Soma at home experience? How does that connect for you?
So the nice thing I know when I'm explaining this to you is, if at least if I don't fill in all the gaps, I have three other people who can fill in the gaps. So here goes. A long time ago, before COVID, long, long time ago, it feels like a whole lifetime ago, there was this thing called a Soma retreat at Monica's house. Okay, now that I've got your attention. So we used to arrive at Monica on the weekends, and it used to happen typically on a Saturday evening, and Monica would typically be the one who would be communicating with you, and us as watchers would arrive and assist you to find a comfortable place, and we would just basically be there to set the environment so that you have a space where you can arrive and feel completely secure to allow whatever to happen to you that evening to happen, because you know that physically your environment would be taken care of. In terms of, we make sure that there's extra blankets for you. We will make sure that there's, you know, it's beautifully lit, so you feel very comfortable and you can relax, and there will be a lovely soup for you in the evening, and there's somebody tending to a fire, and all of these wonderful things, so that you are able to just let go and as we like to say recently, a new term, free fall into the experience. Now, obviously, as COVID came along, we weren't able, because of social distancing, to do that anymore. And Monica had a completely crazy idea, all of us watchers believed, to why don't we do this at home and all connect together. So all of us experienced Soma watchers decided we'd give this a go, and it worked surprisingly well. And the rest's kind of history, but now let me explain what happens there. So instead of arriving at Monica on a Saturday evening and just speaking to her for the week or however long it is prior to your experience, you are put onto a WhatsApp group where we all get to speak to each other and we introduce ourselves to each other the week prior. So because you don't have this physical meeting each other in the ceremony space at Monica's home, so we're kind of creating a virtual ceremony space, if I can call it that, somewhere where we can get to know each other, ask questions. If something comes up during the week, we have people who will answer things about your diet, about your environment, about if you're nervous, all of those things. And ultimately, this is just a wonderful, I can say, build up to our Zoom meeting on a Saturday, where we all take our sacrament after the Zoom meeting. I'm giving you a really quick, concise, really, really short version. Otherwise, I'm going to talk forever. And then we have a Zoom meeting. We take our sacrament. We're all present for you during the evening, because this is where the hazy part comes, where I know all the questions sit. Because what happens once we take the sacrament? So I'm going to quickly brush over that, because I know we'll climb into that more. And then we close that all off the next morning with another Zoom meeting. And the nice thing is that this WhatsApp group that you were a part of the week before carries on. So you don't lose connection with anybody. You have this safety net of people who went through an experience together on that Saturday night. And it sounds really weird for me to say that now, because especially for the first time, as you're saying, but I'm doing this at home alone. How can I be connecting to people and having a group experience? But it's the magic that happens, like Anton was mentioning, of this randomness of everybody that's brought together. And the incredible thing that we are noticing is that the synchronicities between people are just, you can't ignore them. And that's why these groups are so special, because there's always somebody there for you and you didn't even know it until they arrive and they're there for you. So I hope that gives you a quick overview of what the differences are and what the two are, and I'm sure a lot will be filled in between.
Thank you, Rodi. Let's go back a couple of steps, and Bianca, I'm gonna pull you in here next, in that Rodi Ann has given a very rough kind of outline, jumping in the certain practicalities of a physical Soma retreat and what happens in an online at home experience. For you, if you had to explain both of them together, what is a Soma retreat about? We understand that it is a group gathering where you have an opportunity to work with a high dose, and our recommended dose is 5 grams. How would you describe that experience, be it physical, be it connecting as a digital group? How would you explain that from your side?
Are you referring to the experience within itself?
The experience as being a Soma retreat. What is a Soma experience about for you?
For me, what it is it's all about trust. That's really all it is. It's about trusting the process. It's about trusting the sacrament. It's about trusting yourself. If you are in a retreat environment, it's about trusting the watchers and the space that you're in. If you do it by yourself, it's about trusting your own space and feel protected, and trusting the person that you decide that comes to look after you or over you. For me, it's all about trust. The more you trust, the easier it is for the sacrament to give you a message, and the easier it is for you to understand it. So for me, it's all about trust. So if that answers the question, if I understand it correctly, that's what I really would say it's all about for me.
Thank you, Bianca. And you mentioned a key element in that trust, and that is bringing another person in the recommendation with the at-home experience, that there's someone there with you.
Yeah, absolutely. The way we structure it, or the way to make it beneficial for the journeyer, and to create a safe platform, it's really nice to have somebody that watches over you. So for me, the two have a pro and a con. It's the going to journey at Somaliland is really nice, because you have a big group of people and you connect to this big group of people. But at the same time, there's certain restrictions, because you have to be considerate of all the people that are around you. That's just how it is. So if emotions are coming up, you almost have the feeling, or for me, it was like that. You almost need to hold them back, because you have to be considerate of all the other people that journey with you. So to do it at home by yourself, the pro is really that you can really just let go, and you don't have to consider anybody, and you don't connect to 30 people in a room. You're actually connecting to 30 or 40 or 50 people worldwide. So it becomes bigger. It becomes more global. I find the connection actually becomes stronger doing it by yourself on the bigger picture. So that's how it was for me. That's how I experienced it. So I actually really enjoy journeying at home because I find that within itself, the connection is incredibly strong, but the freedom to express myself is so much greater. So yeah, so that's how it is for me.
I want to go to Roger. Roger, before I ask you to share your thoughts, Bianca mentioned Somaliland. And when we refer to Somaliland, we mostly refer to Monica's home in Somerset West. And earlier this week, Monica and I had touched on a conversation about Somaliland. In this place, is it a place in Somerset West? Or what is Somaliland? Is it a place that we go? And I'm also gaining a better understand from that is that, well, no, Somaliland is not this place in Somerset West. Mm. Somaliland is the place that we go where we connect with the divine force through sacred mushrooms. So when we speak about Somaliland, Bianca, your thought process and the trust that we have in this home space that Monica's created, that trust that we can let go there. Somaliland is also a place where you can go and let go. And we go to travel as a journeyer to experience something deep and mysterious and of a deeply spiritual nature as well. Roger, does that resonate with you? Does that describe in a deeper level a Soma journey to you as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's a physical Soma land, but the ceremonies that we're doing online creates a virtual Soma land. So each online ceremony that we have is in itself a virtual Soma land. But to go back to the question, what is a Soma ceremony? To me, there's a couple of words, key words that come to mind. And those are reverence, sacred, serious, and work. This is not a playtime event. When we gather to do a Soma experience, we're gathering to do serious work, serious internal work for each and every one of us. It's a ceremony that must be taken with the reverence that it deserves. I think Monica used the term last week of, if you take Soma seriously, that's when you get the rewards. It's a big dose event. That allows you to connect with your consciousness, it's a spiritual journey that must be conducted with reverence and the gravitas that it deserves. At times it can be hard work. Because you're going into your own consciousness, and you're exploring your own consciousness. You're exploring a lot about yourself, and in a lot of cases, we look for answers. So, I think the point is that it's not something that must be taken lightly, and we must treat it with the reverence that it deserves. And treat it as a sacred experience. It's a deeply spiritual journey into your own consciousness and beyond. And it can have profound effects on oneself. I mean, in my own case, it helped with addiction, and it helped with depression. And then following on from that, it's been an amazing journey on from there of self-discovery for myself. The thought of doing this of doing a Soma journey, if I can call it that, not at Somaland, was not something that that immediately came to our minds. But having said that, I just want to I came across a quote from Terence McKenna this week, and it says, "Avoid gurus, follow plants." And in essence, what it means is that one of the greatest wisdoms the plants have to offer is the realization that all the tools required to heal are within, and that we are our own sovereign leader. And so even if we were at Somaland, as watchers, there's very little that there's no interventions that we would do to anybody who was journeying at Somaland. Our job would be to try and create the setting. And then really, you don't need anything more than that. You just need the spirit of the mushrooms and yourself. And that allows you to explore your own consciousness and to resolve issues and to, in a way, create enlightenment for yourself. But as Anton and Monica have been at pains to say, we are just ordinary people. We still face the garbage of daily life. But this can be an amazing spiritual and deeply healing experience. I'm going to leave it there for now.
Roger, the deeply healing we often talk about. Very specifically, Monica, I want to bring this to your side is very specific from a Soma retreat and a Soma journey point of view. We never sharing any promises of specific healing or specific treatments. Yet through experience, we're seeing the effects, and we're seeing the effects that have nearly been referred to as the side effect of a Soma journey. And you more than the rest of us have seen that year after year after year, especially with people returning. And I very rarely see or can make a promise to a person, well, you're going to be healed from your PTSD, or you're going to be healed from your addictions, because it doesn't work that way. But normally when people see you 6 months later, the friends, the family, they're typically the ones saying, well, you know, look how you've changed, or you know what, my colleagues at the office said, I've been a different person for the last 3 months. What did you do? It's those kind of responses and changes that we're experiencing through observing. And then most often as watchers and people hosting ceremonies, seeing people return. And Monica, that has been very much, I'm sure, in your experience. Can you share a little bit more about those points?
Now, we have a problem that often comes up in the media and very much in the recent Carte Blanche show, where there was so much emphasis on being healed, particularly of depression. You will never hear us talking about that as watchers, those of us who are experienced. We don't talk about being fixed from something. We don't think you need to be fixed. You are who you are. And so we urge people to come to the experience, whether it's online or in a physical group, that you come without any expectation other than to make a connection with a higher force, and allow for that connection to do what there is, what is necessary. Because if we go in with an expectation for most commonly to be healed of depression, you limit the potential for what can happen for you. Because the depression is simply a symptom of a cause, of a deeper thing. And that is what gets worked on, and where there's where changes happen, is that the actual issue, the deeper issues, the causes are addressed. And then the various symptoms start to disappear. But may I, Anton, I wasn't planning to talk about what I just talked about now. You just asked me. But I was wanting to say something about the word soma, because some of you may not know that. Soma is a name. It almost like a universal name, because you find it all over the place. And it became known to us that it was also the name of the spirit of mushrooms. It's a medical name. Psychosomatic comes from the word soma. The word soma in a medical terms means the body. It's a name of an Egyptian god and an Indian god, and ancient hymns have been written. There's 16 books, I beg your pardon, not 16, six hymn books of soma hymns in the Indian tradition. And so it's a widespread, it seems to be a name that applies to anything that is sacred and holy and powerful. And so when we're talking about Soma Land and Soma, that's what that is all about. I just wanted to clarify that, Anton, because we use the word quite a lot and want to say what it was.
Thank you. And at least what it means to us. I've got a Google alert set up where, and I think you may have too, being our Google expert in a way, but a Google alert set up where if the word soma comes up anywhere in the media across the world, you get a little notification with a link. So I get that daily or weekly, I can't remember. And it does come up soma in the strangest of contexts. And I think I kind of lost interest after a little while, because it never referred to soma and sacred mushrooms. And then the one time when I didn't look and I looked for something else months before, it had actually referred to, and I think in that instance, it related to the Soma school, which Monica, you drew our attention to, that was completely not connected with us at all. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Soma at Home events to give a little bit of an overview and a background. We drew up a couple of main points that we wanted to talk about, and I'm stressing again that if you have any questions, please let us know and interrupt at any point. Rodianne did touch on very roughly the outline of what a Soma at Home online event is all about and how it works, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd like to give each of the panel, each of the watchers, an opportunity to talk just a little bit about that as well. From my point of view, very briefly, the at-home experience has evolved into an opportunity for those that are not in Cape Town. Never mind lockdown; it's a consequence of lockdown. It started as a result of lockdown, where people were on their own and not able to have a watcher with them, and it evolved from that into nearly a week-long event. And that week-long event, what I'm referring to is assisting those that wish to and are able to or are unable to join a physical group to receive the information and the support from a group to prepare for a very special experience, which will happen normally on a Saturday night and all together. And in that week, we are providing a platform environment where the group can get to know each other, but also receive information about what they need and can do to prepare for that event. And those preparations include, how can we bring in, especially for a first timer and for someone that is maybe nervous and expecting to be anxious, how can we recommend for them to bring in a family friend or a family member who can be with them as a companion? And how can we bring that companion into this fold of support and also provide them with the help that they may need during the experience. So yes, we're connecting a group together, but we're also allowing people to work with people in their own space, that trust that Bianca spoke about, trusting someone else to be with you through that experience and be able to give them advice from our point of view, which we've learned in the physical environments, and be able to be nearly a support line throughout the night. And we do that mostly via WhatsApp. There's some suggestions to have a room available where you can step in from a video and an audio point of view that's not sitting looking at you in a big brother kind of way, but available for anybody to step into for support and say, look, I'm feeling nauseous, or I'm struggling to work through this. What should I do? And that is very much a support structure that's created in a longer term. And I like to stress that quite a lot, because that's largely what it is about. Everybody here is quite capable of going through their experience on their own. Mm. And people do. You have everything you need to be able to go through this experience on your own. But knowing that there is a support structure out there, and people who from their own experience are able to share and tell you, well, it's better not to do this, or it's better to do that, can really give you the best opportunity to make the most of this experience. And Roger mentioned that this is hard work. It is serious work, and provided for people who are arriving to most often be a better version of themselves. And that is hard work. It is not fun and games. It's not a entertainment experience. It is, we're looking at what can we do, what modality can we use to connect with this higher force, which can assist us to be better. In a very broad sense, Rodianne, does that kind of, without going into the details again, that preparation of helping people prepare for a SOMA at home event, that information, how valuable do you think it is from the feedback that we receive for people just to have those bits and pieces to make up their own mind? And you've shared a lot about that as well.
Well, for instance, Anton gives us roles, the watchers that will be part of your support group in the evening. And for instance, I was a space caretaker. So that entails giving people just little tidbits of information, which does come through in the emails that Anton does send you, but just in the WhatsApp, just so it's more on the fresh in your memory and in your mind, because it's more personal on your phone. Take the time to set up your space and, you know, do all those little things that make it look a lot easier for you. And I found that the feedback that we got from people was taking the time to, oh goodness, you know, there is that pile of clothing in the corner of my bedroom. Maybe in the middle of the night, it might look like a scary guy sitting in my bedroom. I should probably fold all of that washing before I do my journey. It's those little things that really are going to make your experience a lot nicer and a lot easier, because you're not going to be worrying about these little things that could be annoying you. You're going to actually have the time to know, you know what, my soup's ready, I've got a bucket in case I feel nauseous, I've got tissues if my nose is running, I've got a book in case I want to write. All of those little bits of preparation kind of set a tone for you, and as Roger said, it helps with that reverence. It helps with that saying, you know, I'm committing to this. I'm actually saying, yes, I'm doing this to the best of my ability. And I'm committing to myself, actually. And that's more so, I think, it's that trust and saying, I'm doing this for me. That's what we were getting the feedback from, taking the time to do those little things.
Thank you, Rodi. Bianca, you see how it's come first full circle to this trust that you started off with. And it really is about trust, isn't it? And you did highlight it before. This working on your own, and I'm for fear of looking for the same answer from you, assisting people and sharing information beforehand. How necessary do you think it is for someone to be prepared for a SOMA journey? I know that sometimes there are short notice decisions, in the sense of anybody who does arrive, they're meant to go through this experience. There's a calling very often. Does it have to be a long preparation period of a week or a few days? In your experience, can that vary?
I think we're coming back to trust. I think if you made a commitment prior, I completely support Rodi's point of taking the time to get your setting right. Drink more water the week before, cut down with your alcohol, don't have too much meat. It's for me personally, what I put in beforehand, it's important for me, and therefore I believe I get more out of it because it's important for me. I'm not saying it's important for everybody, but if you make it important, then so be it. I also believe that if somebody just spontaneously decides on a Saturday morning, I'm going to join this afternoon, then they're ready and the time is right for them. So I think it's either way, but I do feel that taking that time to really prepare yourself and your space and your mind and go into it with that, I'm ready to receive, okay? And I trust that. For me, preparation is important. But that's the kind of person I am. And for me, it makes a big difference. I don't like to rush into something that is of that kind of magnitude.
And I'd like to mention on what Bianca's saying, I've just been the person to say, prepare, prepare, prepare. But at the same time, I was in a situation, Monica, Anton, and Roger were there, where we had a journey and it was lastminute.com. I decided to go. We decided to have it and it was a day later and I was in an absolute state because I had just put my cap down and I thought there was no ways that I could keep my head together. But I just felt in my heart that I needed to go to Monica to journey, and it was the best thing I ever did. So in the one hand, it really is useful to prepare if you have that opportunity. But at the same time, you probably will never be healthy enough. You'll never be thin enough. You'll never be rested enough. You'll never be in the best headspace. You'll never actually be perfect to arrive at Soma unless you and your heart feel you're ready. And that's something that you need to respond to. You know, all these outside things are just suggestions that we make, but at the end of the day, if you have that feeling that the time is now, don't try and make excuses for things, just follow that. So I just needed to add that in, because I was saying all this about the preparation, but I've been in the experience where I was like, it feels right and I haven't prepared, I'm a mess, but I'm going, and it was one of the best experiences I ever had.
And knowing and reminding that for the at-home events, we have a WhatsApp group that's created at the beginning of the week, normally on the Monday or so, and that's where the group starts getting to know each other. And that's a little bit different from the physical event. But anybody is welcome to change their mind at any time. Up until Saturday evening, if you don't have that feeling in your heart of wanting to go through, we simply ask that you let us know so that we have an awareness of where you're at. And often with those uncertainties, if you're not certain on Wednesday or Thursday or have doubts, there's a group that you can reach out to and talk to and share how you're feeling. And Roger, we've seen so often about the right people arrive, be it as a physical group gathering or online with a digital group. Do you have any examples and thoughts of that feeling of knowing, no matter how anxious or how in what space of mind you are in your life? Rodi's mentioned not being in a perfect frame of mind. Do you have some experience and thoughts that you can share from your side?
Well, look, let me firstly say that even as a watcher, in the week building up to the Saturday night ceremony, there is a certain degree of excitement and even intrepidation that builds up in that week. I often feel it in my gut. I have that sense that something important is coming. And let me just also say that in the days when I was still in Cape Town and we were doing the physical ceremonies, on the Saturday morning, on the Saturday of the evening of the ceremony, I would make sure that I had a sleep sometime late Saturday morning into the afternoon. The last thing I would do before I left home, funnily enough, from Acacia Park in Cape Town, which I see has been in the news the whole week, I would make sure I had a shower, because that was part of my preparation. You know, as much as one might previously have had a shower and made sure one's neatly dressed before one goes to church on a Sunday morning. So it was important for me, the last thing I did before I left home to go to Monica's on a Saturday afternoon, late afternoon, was to have a shower. And the closer, you know, as you sort of drive from Cape Town towards Somerset West and the mountains become more visible, so the excitement and intrepidation at the same time builds. The point I'm trying to make is that from the moment that you've made that conscious decision that I'm going to participate in the ceremony, your process has started. Because you've made that decision, you're conscious of it. And in the days that follow from the moment that you took that decision, you are consciously and subconsciously preparing yourself. And so the week that builds up to the ceremony on the Saturday, the WhatsApp group, it's all, and more so because we're now doing it on a virtual basis, is it plays an important part in each journeyer's own creation of their set and setting. And so it's all the little things of all the preparations that you make building up to Saturday evening are part of your own process of creating, of getting yourself into the mindset and of preparing your own space to be ready for the ceremony on the Saturday evening. So the WhatsApp group and the week that preceding it and all the information that's shared and that sort of thing, that's all part of the process of preparing ourselves, preparing our set and setting for the Saturday evening event. And so those are all important steps in the process, in my opinion.
Monica, I have a question for you, but do you have any thoughts on your mind before I ask the question?
No.
Roger's mentioned this feeling of trepidation, of butterflies. Is that something you still experience, or do you experience it in a different way? And how could you describe it in what its meaning is?
For me, it's like a mystery. Every experience is a mystery that unfolds and often presents even more mysteries. I don't have any dread or fear at all, but just a I guess an adrenaline thing that is part of physical preparation to participate in a few hours of important work.
Thank you. I really, really wanted to ask you that for a while.
Does it get easier?
It's an interesting process that we go through, because There's a lot of emotion involved, and it's important work for many people, including ourselves. As we keep stressing, it is serious work. It really is.
What I do think about is not so much me and what I'm going to be experiencing, but I invariably know quite deeply some of the people who are coming. And especially those who are coming for the first time, if I've had communication with them, I feel anxious for them because I know how they are feeling. And I'm wanting them to have the best possible experience. And if I could wave a magic wand, I would do that over each person. But we have no control at all other than just to be present and accepting. And so if I have any anxiety, it's not even anxiety. It's just a yearning for people who are going to be journeying that night, and especially those who are going to be there for the first time. That is a big event, a big life event.
Roger.
And it goes back to the issue of, in a way, to what Bianca was saying about trust. The point is simply that, to a large extent, you are, especially for a person doing it for the first time, you don't know what to expect. And even as a seasoned journeyer, you never know what to expect. But the point is simply that that feeling of intrepidation is a natural feeling. And that is why, in part, the week leading up is important to try and create your setting, to try and create your safe space, to trust the process, as Bianca was saying, because it's important that in the journey you allow yourself to be as vulnerable as possible. That work that you do in the week before the Saturday evening is important. It's an important time of creating your own cocoon, creating your own safe space. That's important, but that feeling of intrepidation is a natural feeling for first timers and even for me today.
Anton, I'm just wondering whether there are people here on the screen who have their questions and hoping we're going to get there. That maybe there are some questions that people have that are very specific to their own needs.
I would like to invite, thank you, Monica. I would like to invite anybody to, as we're continuing the discussion, rather than waiting for the question, to please, if you do have any specific questions, please go ahead and let us know. Monica, you're quite right. Anybody is welcome to step in and have a question.
Can I ask something? I have been on antidepressant for 11 years. I've watched a lot of the programs from the UK and from America about the treatment they actually give for bipolar depression and different types of depressions. And I think over the years I've realized my depression was forced by nearly being retrenched 10 years ago, actually longer than that. And last year I was retrenched. And then I just decided one day I cannot live with antidepressants anymore. I've reduced it to about a quarter of what it originally was. I was drinking handfuls of antidepressants. Now, my thing is, my mom died 2 months ago. So the psychiatrist has actually put me back on the double dose. And there's so many side effects. I'm so sick and tired of suffering from the side effects. I've read on the internet the leaflets, and I've decided I had enough. 11 years of side effects and reducing it myself, I felt better, but not how I know I must feel. Now, I want to actually stop drinking everything, but I know I won't sleep and I'm going to cry for 2 weeks. And that's why I was asking, is it 2 days, 4 days? I'm prepared to not sleep, but to cry all the time is desperate. And I'm not suicidal, so you guys don't need to worry. I'm not manic depressed, but I do, a lot of things make me cry a lot. I'm 63, so I'm not a child anymore. So this decision is not from yesterday or the week before. It comes 11 months. In actually, in a few days, it's actually 12 months. Reading, and it's only in God's grace that I actually found the Carte Blanche, because I don't watch TV. I found the Carte Blanche program, and I want to do it. I was just shocked that it is so soon, but I'm actually glad it is, because I mean, I still work and I've read a lot in the evenings, so I don't think I'll be ever ready. If I don't fall in boots now, after 12 months, then I'll be never ready. So I'm not even scared. The only thing is, I'm a very, I don't want to even say a religious person, because that sounds fake. I believe in God. And I've read, it doesn't change. God don't disappear suddenly, or somebody else appear. I've made that peace. So I'm prepared to actually stay without the medication for a week. I don't want to miss out, because the stuff I'm drinking is going to dull my senses. Is that, for me, that will be a very disappointing. And I'd rather cry for 2 weeks and be more acceptable of the situation. I don't know how to say it else in a different way.
Aletta, can I just say something? You described that so beautifully. And of course, we have many people who over the years, and more so, who come, who are heavily on medications of all kinds, mood changers and antidepressants. And it's a very difficult thing, because you become quite dependent on it to get through your day. And I think you don't need to go off for a week. 2 or 3 days is more than enough. 2 days is enough. You just want to lessen without side effects that come because you're off your medication and complicated with that. But that you come off for just a couple of days, so that you are reduced the possibility of your experience with mushrooms being suppressed by the antidepressants. Okay. And the other thing I wanted to say to you was about the crying. Please just cry. You know, it's so healing. It's our own body's way of healing itself. So don't feel bad about that, or apologize. Okay. Tears that are cried in grief have a different chemical structure to tears of people peeling onions. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They did some research on that, that when we cry from grief or sadness, it's something else that's coming out of our eyes. That is, I would love to know what. I don't know what it is, but it makes a difference. When I've cried, when I lost my husband and the pain became unbearable, and I would cry my heart out, and I would feel so much better for a while, like I could actually live with this. So welcome your tears. Don't apologize for them.
Okay, thank you.
iPad.
Hi, it's Benny. Hi. Yes, hi. Well, thanks to all of you. A few questions. Also, I'm 60,
around 60, 1 year short. Very sensitive to any drugs. My background is pharmacy, and I take two Panados and I sleep for 8 hours. So I don't touch any allopathic drugs. I do a lot of supplements, very healthy eating, et cetera, et cetera. And I am very apprehensive of the effects that it may have on me because I am hypersensitive and I come from a family that's hypersensitive to any drug addiction. That's the one question. The other thing is I want to know why you do it at night specifically. And then you were just picking up on your issue now of crying. I'm the absolute opposite. It's like an inability to cry, having pulled my life together and for various reasons. It's not important in this forum, but having to stand on my own and with my children, etc., and just pull everything together as a one-man band, that makes it sort of difficult to let go. And I am incredibly, incredibly reticent to want to let go. To the point that, yeah, I'm starting to get arthritic hands because I continually work, that I am a workaholic, which is actually the exact mirror image of an alcoholic, exactly the opposite. It's still an addict, whatever way one looks at it. So the fear of letting go and then the choice of having somebody with me. I've got a son who's 25 and has done mushrooms and is the most spiritual, cool, calm guy ever. Mm. But I don't want my 25-year-old with me. Mm. I just don't feel that that's okay. I'm his mother. And I want somebody with me, but I don't want anybody that I know, but I'm too cynical to accept anybody into the space because I have visions of being on the newspaper the next morning, drug addict found in, dead in room because I understand drugs. I understand what happens in drug interactions. So, yeah, that is a tremendous fear.
Jenny, I'm nearly exploding with what I want to say to you. Because you're talking rubbish, honestly. And I say that respectfully. Mushrooms are not a drug. They are a natural thing that comes out of the soil. They will not hurt you. They are not addictive. They cannot hurt you. They will only do you good. They will do no harm. The worst that can happen is you might have a rough ride. That can happen, and welcome it. The rough rides with the mushroom journey that often get called bad journeys. There's no such thing as a bad journey. It's a difficult time. And be thankful that the mushrooms, the psilocybin, soma, cared enough about you to really work hard on you. And yes, it's hard because you've got a mountain to climb. So do some climbing and falling back and climbing. But don't build up. You've got all this stuff that you've built up. I think your son sounds perfect. I wish he was my son. Well, I've got a very nice son also, but he sounds like the perfect one to be with you. What an honor. Does he want to be with you?
He's very, I don't know if he wants to, but he's very amenable to the situation. And he's always said, Ma, you need a dose of mushrooms to become real. Yeah.
So I must apologize. I don't want to tell you what to do. I'm just trying to contain myself here. You must do what you feel is right. But I have to tell you, if you're gonna spoil your night, I do not want your night to be spoiled. I want you to have the best possible experience. And what a lovely memory for you and your son. We've often had parent-child combinations. And you'll make a memory that will live with you forever. And one day when you're old and dead, your son is going to remember that night.
Okay. And the why is it at night?
Because that's when mushrooms work. You can do mushrooms in the day if you want, and some people do day journeys every now and then. Other people can actually answer this. I don't need to answer this one, but I'm talking now. it works at its best. It's a night. What word can I use? A night spirit. That's when it the darkness, the stars, the silence of a garden, those sort of things are at work at night. Do you have a concern about it being at night?
No, I just wondered. I do know that having studied biology and quite in depth, I understand the fungi as a microbe in any case. I work a lot with microbes, so I understand, but I just wondered if there was a specific reason in terms of light, in terms of the effects on the retina, in terms of the, I was wondering if there's an issue around light, should one darken a room, that sort of thing. Because light, I am in any case photophobic, so I prefer darker environments, but, and I've got bad eyesight, so I require light to be able to see the world. So there's a I just try and my brain is overactive. Okay, it's
I
yeah.
Hear that.
Yes. Okay, I overthink.
Yeah, you can make a little project. I hope you join us many times, and that this becomes a kind of a path for you to follow, because you've got a long way to go. I hear that. And one of your projects can be to discover what is the difference between working in the day and working at night. And tell us, let it be a little thesis that you do. Mm. You're someone who studied a lot, so you're well prepared.
Mm. Interesting, because I do like to sleep, but I don't sleep. So
come in here and just say, number one, that... I was not somebody that could cry easily previously, and from the insights that I got, I realized afterwards that I had actually built walls around myself. And my work with mushrooms and the work that I did as a consequence of my journeys, it's not necessarily the panacea of everything. It, in a lot of respects, it gives you the insight to do the things that you need to do to relieve your pain and suffering. I cry a lot easier today. And that actually pleases me in a lot of ways. In respect of your son possibly watching over you, I agree with Monica, that could be something really beautiful. But the point also is that this journey is an inward journey into your own consciousness. And in a lot of respects, there's very little outward manifestation, physical manifestation of what you are experiencing inside yourself. So... to a large extent, your son would have no idea as to the specifics of the issues that you are dealing with within yourself, except being there as a support to you. And that in itself is, wow.
Well, that's actually quite...
point of love. Such a loving thing.
That's quite a stabilizing statement, because, okay. That's just a very grounding statement, and it's quite nice, good to know.
Yeah, and let me just reiterate what Monica said. We don't view this as a drug, because it's a natural substance. It's politics essentially that classified it as a drug, which it's not.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, well, I mean, so is cyanide a natural substance and stuff like that, but we don't go taking it. And I understand where you come from and, you know, whether it's the cannabinoids or whatever it is that one is studying, and those are all derived from natural substance. In fact, dispersin, salicylic acid, is a natural substance, naturally occurring. So, you know, I'm aware of that, and one has to, without being academic about it, there are certain things that nature has provided. My son would just like to say something, if he may.
Hi, everyone. I'm Josh, and I'm very happy to watch over my mom during her time on shrooms. I actually asked her to say, why is it night? Because when I done shrooms, it was a visual journey for me. And I realized the point of this group, and it's to look inward. And that's why I realized it's why it's happening at night. So I completely agree with everything that you guys have said. And I'm more than happy to look after her through a trip. And I just want to give her space, as well as just because I know that it's quite a huge feeling that you feel when you're on it. And sometimes you need someone physically there with you to express that feeling. And it's for me to be there would be great, and I really wanted her to be in a group and actually be there physically, but for me to be there, I'm more than happy to do it, and just because I know that I would want that after experiencing mushrooms. And yeah, I'm super excited for all of you to do it, and yeah, I'm super excited for her to take this this dive into an unknown experience. And it's always very scary, because from the first time I did it, I was so nervous, and there was a time when I was so against it, and then stars aligned. I said, I'm just going to do this. And every day I look back and I remember specifics of that each day, and I remember how happy I was, and I was so grateful that I did it. And I'm just excited for everyone to go on their journey.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Thank you, Josh.
I want to speak a little bit about the best possible experience and the preparation for a best possible experience. Anita has asked me a question via text, saying how we approach someone who may be having a difficult experience during the ceremony, and how does that affect the rest of the group? And it ties a little bit in with the best possible experience. Now, best possible experience is not always an easy experience. A difficult time may be had. That does not mean that it is a bad trip. We hate the reference to a bad trip. These difficult experiences are actually a blessing, because that's when the deep work gets done. And what do we need to do when someone's going through a difficult experience? And how do we support someone that's going through a difficult experience? Rodianne, we've gone through that a lot with in a physical environment of when someone's having a tough time. It doesn't really affect the group until they affect the group. And what does one need to do in a physical space if you've got a companion, or you are the companion and the person that is journeying is having a tough time? What does one need to do, and how does that affect the group?
For instance, if we were in a physical environment, let's say for this example, in Monica's ceremony space, someone could be thrashing about quite severely, or and possibly incredibly quiet, but they're jerking or something's happening. Usually we would, if we could, maybe shift people a little further away so that you could carry on writhing but not bump into anybody, or we would move someone quietly away to go and have a space where they could work through whatever it is that they're going through, because we're trying not to stop it. And that's the thing, is that you need to go through whatever process that is, and that's where someone who is with you, being an observer or a companion, or even someone who is prepared to be a watcher who's with you in your space, it's to allow you to work through that process without interfering in the best way that we can. I don't know if that's answering the question
to an extent, because there's that understanding of misinterpreting a best possible experience as an elevator ride, as a blissful experience. A blissful experience is not necessarily the best experience that you need to have. But when we are preparing someone for the physical gathering or for work that you're doing on your own, we can give advice from learning and what we think is the best way to prepare yourself so that you don't have an upset stomach, or so that you can learn how to breathe through something. And that is quite a lot easier in a home space where you have someone looking over you, where you're not affecting
anybody else,
a physical group. And if someone is affecting the group, what do we normally do? We've spoken about how we remove people from a space and try and separate them so that they are not disturbing. But that's not, oh no, you're now out of the experience. You've just moved to an area.
And it's not saying what you're going through is bad either. It's just allowing you to keep going through that process in the best possible way. And I think that's what's so important here, is also for us as a watcher or a companion, I may think someone's having a really tough time because they're writhing or they're crying or something. And I may think out of the bestest place in my heart that I'm actually going to go and console them by putting my hand on their shoulder. Meanwhile, they're actually not aware of what their body is going through, and they're actually having a really good time. I know this sounds ridiculous, but, and me actually physically touching pulls them out of it, and wherever they were is lost. And there's that we have that fine balance of knowing you as a companion would go near someone if you think me from my outside. And that's what Roger was saying to you, Jenny, is that we think we know what you're going through, but we actually have no idea. I live with Anton. We speak more than anybody I know, and we still don't know what each other are thinking. So for us to try and think that we know what someone is going through on a mushroom experience is very far-fetched. So for one to allow that person to actually reach out to you when they're ready is actually the key, because that's when I know that that person actually is looking and reaching out for help. And that is when you as the companion is within arm's reach, so you are there. And I think if that helps a bit more in explaining what we would do for someone.
Roger, you have your hand up. I think Nadia, Warwick, you're waving your hand to say you want to say something. We can come to that after maybe hearing from Roger. Roger?
Yeah, no, I think the point is simply that it's you know, we often use the word hard work. Not every journey is hard work, but sometimes it can be hard work, and that's hard work that you've got to do as an individual. And so really, I mean, to me, the thing is, resist the temptation to intervene as much as possible. Let the journeyer work through the issues. But just anchor, you know, be the anchor in the room with that person. But the hard work in a lot of cases is an amazing blessing. And those blessings come after that hard work.
And I'll just put some context here. Because when we journey, and whether it's online or whether it's in a physical journey, it's many hours. We're many hours together. And in that period of time, there are waves that rise and fall, and there's a time of bliss, and then you fall into like the bottom of the deepest dark ocean, and then you come up and you sail along and fly through the sky. So it's a changing experience all through the night. It's not just one solid period of awfulness or one solid period of fun and games. It's changing all the time. And the more you surrender into that, the more you are going to go, what happens if you start to resist a difficult experience? Is then the difficult experience pushes you harder and pushes for longer than it would have done if you had just surrendered to it and let it do the work that it wants to do. It's a kind of a recipe. I feel like that each journey, people come with a recipe they don't even know about. And that recipe unfolds during the night that is absolutely unique to them. It's not like what's happening to anybody else, either ever or on that same night. And then one last thing before I stop talking is that one of the things that does cause trouble and has, in fact, every time where we've had trouble with people who are journeying with us in physically, it's because they've mixed something else with the mushrooms. More often cannabis, not only always cannabis, it can be alcohol. But if you combine, like you don't, I'm not a drinker, but I believe you don't mix your drinks. If you're drinking alcohol, we don't mix mushrooms with anything. If you want a pure experience, that's all you need. You don't need anything else. We do give you a piece of chocolate, but that's just like a food source. It's not going to send you on a trip.
Thank you, Monica. Does anybody have any questions around that, where we've been? Neil? Sorry, Neil. Yes, I can hear you.
One question, a lot of information. Thanks for the opportunity. How long does it last? Or say, for instance, if you start to use it, how long, when does it start working and how long does it work? A quick question.
I'm going to ask Bianca if she could give us a little rundown of how long.
Yeah, generally you find that it starts quite quickly. So within 15, 20 minutes, it starts. So you feel it quite quickly and then it gets much more intense. And when we do the Zoom meeting, we generally take it just after, at about 8:30. We all take it together. We try to make this an experience. We all take it together. So you're looking at taking it about 8:30. And it lasts till well after midnight. And some people are able to sleep afterwards and other people go till 3-4 o'clock in the morning where they're just still awake and it just lingers along. But the intensity, I would say, is about 4.5 hours. There's something else I'd like to say. When you go on a full journey, you take 5 grams. That's the recommended dose. People that the watchers, they also take a gram. So whenever we watch, we take a gram to balance the two worlds, to be able to be connected on both sides. So that helps to support you. Okay. And that helps the connection to be established much stronger. So if that answers your question.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Bianca.
Thank you, Neil. Are there any other? Arthur, good evening, Arthur.
Hi, Anton. Hi, everyone. So just a question. I understand it's so much a personal journey, but is there an opportunity or do you know of encounters where you journey with someone in one journey, in my personal journey, if you understand what I'm saying, like where someone guides you through the whole process, or is it something that's that's never done before?
Can I answer that? Sorry, may I? Is anyone else wants to answer that? Arthur, nobody's saying anything. It's the one time where you don't need another human being. If you're going to introduce a human guide, is that what you're talking about? Someone kind of guides you through the night, then don't bother to take mushrooms. Just work with that guide through the night. You don't need, and it's better not to have a physical guide with you. Just a presence there for your own security and comfort, because we trust that a soma will work with you, and we trust you to work with soma, that in this very intimate one-on-one experience. And the introduction of a human being is, we can go historically, where the churches have introduced human beings like pastors and popes and evangelists and all kinds of things, because we can't go directly to God. It's the same principle that we think we've got to have. We can't approach divinity or this great force that exists, and we must have another human being there. So it's you can have that experience with the human being whenever you like, but it's a pity to spoil it, your mushroom journey, by doing it with a human being, because you don't need that. You have everything that you need to go as deep as you need to go.
I want to add on a little bit to that as well, Monica. Arthur, you've journeyed with Monica in Somerset West, and you've been with us for an
atom. I love Arthur.
Been working on his own as well. And it's as if COVID and lockdown gave us this bonus lesson, this bonus chapter of learning or teaching us as watchers how to enable other people to work on their own. To enable those that are not in Cape Town and have this privilege of going to Monica and Somerset West, and also watchers who have learned the way that she does it, go to their events. We have this bonus chapter of now making this available to anybody and everybody. The physical journeys, Jonah, I see you asking about when is the next physical journey possibly going to happen in Somerset West. We don't know. They are on hold. We'll include
you. I'll tell you. We're waiting for this 2-week, we're on a 2-week trial period, according to our president, to see how does this new thing work that we're at now, and then there'll be a change. First and foremost, we don't want anyone to get COVID when they're with us. But we have, there's enormous demand for those journeys to start up again. I find it very pressurizing, because I'm torn to, I want to be responsible. I want to do the best thing and keep everybody safe. And that's very hard to tell that whether or not someone is going to be safe. Everyone. So I would like to think that we will start again as soon as we get the go-ahead from the president. I don't think the president's ever heard of us, but that's how I see it. We wait for what he has to say, and then we'll make a decision.
And in the meantime, we're going through the process of assisting anybody around the country and the world.
Yes, exactly.
To journey in their own way as well, and or even create their own groups. We have, over the years, we've traveled to Johannesburg. We've hosted events once or twice a year in Midrand. We've traveled to the Garden Route. The events in Somerset West are likely to, again, get very busy and big. So even to the point of when we did, lockdown regulations allowed us to lift a little bit, there was this long waiting list of people wanting to join Monica, and it became 10 people a week, and then suddenly it jumped up to 20, 30 people that wanted to join, and even more. That's not going to go away. And we have a chapter that's teaching us to allow people to do this work beyond and in addition. And when there's an opportunity and when things allow for you to go to Somerset West and or to one of our outdoor events in Joburg, et cetera, they will happen again. But we're really trying to encourage everybody to keep doing the work and allow them to do the work. Work in this way as well.
There's another thing, Anton, about what we're doing here is that we actually open the doors for the whole world. And all the little dorps in around South Africa, it's been a hugely big thing that we're doing here. It is. I absolutely believe in what we're doing here as being much bigger in its potential than we know now. We are still practicing. We're still finding our way. But just wait and see where this is going. You call the journeys of 20 people we have in Somerset West as big. They are a little speck. They're nothing compared to where we are heading with a group like this. I fully support what's going on here.
Thank you, Monica. Aletta, you have asked about sourcing. Once one has signed up for a SOMA at Home experience, I'll send you more information about that and we can assist. And it's one of the big things here in Johannesburg, which is inside South Africa, which is nearly the easy part. But the more difficult part is when we start connecting other parts of the world. And we do have sources available, but we have people connecting and journeying with us in North America, Europe. And then the encouragement should actually step into, well, people growing their own. We've had that as well. Someone joining us from New Zealand, where their lockdown project was to grow their own mushrooms, and their first journey that they experienced with their own mushrooms was connecting with us. And we're experiencing the same thing in Europe. We had a source where we could work from the UK, and then Brexit happened and they've broken away a little bit. Someone else was going through a process of growing their own. And this is a natural source, it's a natural provider. But with the modern pharmaceutical world stepping in, the trusting of source and putting something in a category of a drug means that we can't always trust that source either, because it can be polluted with whatever else. I'm not saying the substance itself is polluted, but the source may not be acting in full integrity and trust again, as Bianca is referring to. So Aletta, definitely we can assist you there and we can send more information by email. And regarding the physical and the SOMA at Home events, the SOMA at Home events will continue all the way into next year. The SOMALand website have those dates listed. And once the events become available again in a physical environment, there is a mailing list on which you're all included. You'll receive more information about that as well, especially once a space has become available. We very much respond to what comes our way rather than saying exactly this is how it has to be. We have our own ideas of hundreds and thousands of people, and also having a big team of watchers that can continue this work in this way. And that's the point I wanted to stress is this is one way of working with mushrooms. We're not saying this way is the only way and that we're right. This is through experience of repetition and trying different things and evolving and learning and listening to the higher force of SOMA and learning how can we offer people the best experience, but it's certainly not the only way. Mushrooms will do the work and we're simply creating an environment where we believe through experience that you can have the deepest possible experience in this way, and that's what we're trying to create.
You know, there's evidence that in ancient Egypt, talking about other ways to use mushrooms, where initiates worked with mushrooms. And I don't, if you've been to the pyramids, you'll know what it's like. And there's a tunnel that you crawl on your tummy through, and that's that narrow underneath the main pyramid. And these initiates would be given mushrooms and then crawl on their tummies deeper and deeper and deeper into the ground on a mushroom experience. And I mean, that's another way. I mean, we can look at doing something like that, maybe. There's no end to the variety and the possibility.
Certainly not, no. Arthur has asked about the effects or experience change with a slightly higher or lower dose, 7 grams versus 5 grams or even less. We've spoken about calibration, etc. before. Open to the panel, Rodianne, would you like to touch on that for a little bit as well?
Well, the recommended dose is 5 grams. I think, Arthur, you should know because you've been to Monaco before, and that we see it as a calibration. But it has been experiences where you actually don't need to take that much after you've had your 5 grams. I must say, recently, fortunately, Anton and I have been doing these SERM at home experiences for quite a while now, and about 6 months ago, I probably had one of my most intense experiences on 1 gram. So I was always one that was the greedy pig that said, oh no, I need 8 grams. That's me. I need 8 grams. Don't look at me. 1 gram, Arthur, 1 gram. I probably had some of the most incredible insights ever.
And it's just been my experience too.
It's just also with that understanding of when the experience happens, recognizing it, and I love the free fall. I love that example of just like, and one of our watchers says, yeah, Bez, just jump off the high board and just let go. It really is that. And I think once you start understanding what the feeling is of the mushrooms in your system, you can recognize it and let go into that. And the messages are just as powerful.
So you just need a trigger.
Exactly. That reminder of where you're going will nudge in that direction again.
So when you're taking a higher dose of 8 grams, what is different?
Oh, I find that I'm physically unable to move for a lot longer. So for me...
Well, that's something to aim for.
Some people, well, Anton, for example, I'll take my high dose and Anton pops out of his journey within maybe an hour or two. Whereas for me, I find that if I've taken a higher dose, I am in for longer. However, I have found that the downside to that is I go so much deeper that I don't remember that much. So in a way, you kind of have this, I know something happened. I know something changed. I know there was that understanding, that soul recognition of something has happened, but I cannot remember it. And sometimes I've just said, you know, that's maybe I always say mushrooms is like the best therapist you'll ever have, because I'm going to use a bad experience of let's say a really bad car accident, but you haven't been able to get over that experience. Mushrooms isn't going to drag you into the trauma of seeing the car slam into you and all the pain and all this, but it's going to help you get the lesson somehow, but it's not going to take you through the gore again, if that makes sense. And if you have to have amnesia from that experience that you worked through, it does happen somehow, but there's that feeling of the knowing that something has been shifted and an understanding has come that no one can take away from you when you leave that experience the next day. It's like when there's an inner understanding and there's just like, no one can change my mind now because I know the truth. And that for me is the other side of the 8 grams, is I have to have that faith, that trust that is what happened and I am better and this has made a change, and not let my little mind try and unpack and understand what didn't happen or did happen. So in a way, the one gram is probably a lot easier for, in terms of maybe navigating and being more conscious, if I can say that. But I'm not going to say the work isn't as valuable or not, if that, you know what I mean. I guess it's a, again, I'm the one for both the preparation and the running into the journey and the large dose and the small dose. So again, I think it's a purely personal experience. and what you feel is right for you. Because I think only once you've done your 7 grams are you going to realize that 2 is okay.
Rabbi Ann, can I just make an important point?
Please.
That you do need for your first couple of times, 2 times, maybe 3 times, to have 5 grams. You can't really get into it if you start out with 1 gram. That's the calibration. It takes you, it's something that puts you in a position where all you need to do is go back to with 1 gram or 2 grams to go back to where you were when you had your first lot of 5 grams. And then, but what happens with modern medication, that you need to take more and more and more. And so often people think they've got to take more and more mushrooms. And it doesn't work like that. It works in reverse, rather. I've had 10 grams a few times. And every time, I think, you know, that wasn't nearly as meaningful and profound for me as the last time I had only 2 grams. And we're looking here at a financial investment. It costs a lot of money to have 10 grams compared to 2 grams. And not that the money is an issue, but it's certainly part of it that you don't need to have more and more and more in order to have a bigger experience. And it's a mystery because we are used to how modern medication works and that we need to take more and more of that. But that isn't the truth with mushrooms. And I think even herbalists will use the term that less is more. I'm sure you've heard that. Any of you who've worked with herbal stuff, that the less you take, the better it works. And mushrooms is like that, except for the first few times to acclimatize yourself to the experience of mushrooms.
And that acclimatization, that calibration is so important, isn't it, Monica? The fear factor, the uncertainty factor, saying, well, I'm only going to take 3 grams or 4 grams, and the potential then of being left with the disappointments of, well, was that it? I went through this whole build-up and preparation. Did I fully step through the threshold because I decided I'm only going to take?
And then that awful thought, I wish I had taken more. We've had people like that. I wish I had taken more. Mm-hmm. And that's a pity.
And hence we start with the 5 grams.
Okay.
Excellent. Any more questions from anybody else?
Yeah.
Neil.
Can I ask a question? Well, I had depression since 2007. And it was hell. I was at, I think, 6-7 psychiatrists. And it was just, up until now, it's still a struggle to get the right medication. And as I said in my email, I'm lost now. I'm 42. I've been in places, dark places. I don't want anybody else to be in that situation. I've read through the information. I did cannabis also from a person that said you can use it and it will help, but it didn't work for me. I was taken up at Optima in Bloemfontein, and I was the first guinea pig that Dr. Mayer used ketamine. Basically, it was 1.5 milliliters on a drip. So you were lying on a bed and you were given the drip and you were lying for 1 hour, 1.5 hours. And it felt like you were lying there and you were like, in your subconscious, you were seeing all this. As Rodi said about the car accident or whatever, you couldn't process it before, but now it looks like if you have your desktop in front of you with all the icons, and it's like all the issues that you had ever in your life was like you were lying there, and it was like just it was stuff that you didn't want to process or couldn't process, but it was just like going into the recycle bin. Like process, it was like you were just apart from your, basically your self, your brain, trying to prevent your heart from speaking to your brain. Mm-hmm. And it was really, yeah, it was really amazing to feel that way. But yeah, eventually, I mean, it was also expensive exercise. There was also, you lie in a bed and there was 10 patients there, and some people also had other, I was a person that was really lying there and you're like, you're lying and you're quiet and everything is processed. But then there's others in the same room that had outbursts, you're like, where they had to, didn't process it as good as I did maybe. But yeah, apart from that, I'm looking forward to this new venture or new process. I really want to get out of this depression, this anxiety, this feeling of hopelessness, this feeling of not knowing yourself, not knowing where to go. I was a forensic auditor at, I think that was, that broke me basically. I did forensics for Department of Land Reform in the Free State, Northern Cape and the Western Cape since 2010. And we worked for, I worked for KPMG, PwC, Sikela Tabiso, Entica, and I was a project manager. And it was a lot of, it was a lot of stress. And I think I wasn't the right person to take that on. And well, you had the opportunity, and it was really, there was a lot of, you like, when you see corruption, then it really hits your heart where money goes or where money's been spent. And you want to, I'm a person that wants to change for the better. But if you work for something and you see how money is being blown away, how everything is being, I mean, we can just look at South Africa currently. You want to change things, but your hands are tied down. You report on stuff and you report to the minister, and it's just basically being put under the table. And it, I think that was really like where I really thought, like, what am I doing or why am I here? Money is good, but the work and what is happening was just really terrible. I mean, it was millions and millions. I actually, that's why I saw Monique on Carte Blanche. I reported three cases, high profile cases where the guys already, I mean, obviously one is Ace Makashule with his court case. Of money that's just being stolen. And yeah, it's that kind of stuff that really, I think, still sticks to me. Did I do enough? Didn't I do enough? Where, you know, like I'm still feeling lost. What am I doing on this earth? Like the questions, it's really still my left brain and my right brain still try to figure out, am I on the right path? There's a lot of questions and it needs to be answered. And I think and I hope this will be the right thing to do and basically the right, just to heal myself and to release all this these things that you worry about, I mean, it's life. It's life. I mean, I can't do anything about it, but you wanted, you like it, you wanted the you want so many things to be better, but or in control, but that doesn't work. Yeah, so I think I take too much stress or too much things on my shoulders that I don't need to do. I think that's the short and the long.
Neil, you're in Bloemfontein.
I'm in Raits, Free State.
Oh, Raits.
I was in Bloemfontein. Bloemfontein. I was in Stellenbosch.
What I'm really asking in a roundabout way is, are you going to be alone when you journey with us?
Yeah, I'm on the farm now with my parents, and my mother will be with me.
Okay.
Sorry, Angela, if I can come in here. Neil, she sounded like Roger speaking there.
I know. I was going to say Roger's been through the same.
Because, you know, that manic hole that you're in, I mean, I was in that hole for a decade or more. Your involvement in government and governance, that was my life. I was a municipal manager from 1994 for about 20 years. I was sent into municipalities that were messed up.
Yeah.
So a lot of what you said is resonating with me. I just want to salute you for putting up your hand. Because you're gifting yourself an amazing opportunity to start a process of dealing with the issues. Having said that, my exposure to psilocybin allowed me to do things that I had to do to sort those issues out. So the point I'm making is simply that it's not necessarily a panacea in its own right, but hopefully it gives you the insight to do whatever you need to do along the path of whatever needs to happen.
Okay.
But I salute you, Neil.
Thank you. Thank you, Roger.
Neil, we spoke about with the Watchers before that, and Yanis is a good example of allowing journeyers the opportunity to share in their own language.
Mm.
Your command of the English language is complete. You're bilingual, yet we know your home language is Afrikaans. And I'm just adding that to let you know that communicating and connecting with people that understand from their own experiences, and Roger has highlighted that from his history, there's a connection. Yanis can share in his home language, Afrikaans, as well. And that's the beauty of connecting with this group. But know for now, at least for this evening, that you're not alone. Already this group that has connected simply to share information about how we work with mushrooms, they are already here with you. We are here with you. And we get to be very privileged to walk a path with you, which has started this evening. And you may journey with us in the next coming dates or only later down the line. But you aren't alone. We are with you.
Thank you very much.
Arthur has asked about tips for post-journey work that you can prep for, or is this personalized and based on the experience you got on the night? Arthur, there's this word integration. Maybe some of the Watchers want to talk about that, because we've very much avoided the the context of integration when it comes to working with Soma and allowing you to find the personal work and the personal journey and the personal support that you need, rather than putting ourselves in the way of that. So I'm sure some of the watchers have got answers there as well. But from my side, we have typically avoided saying, well, this is how you must integrate. This is how you must process and prepare after the experience. Yet with the Soma at Home events, where we have this WhatsApp group and pool of people who have been through an experience together with us, we're finding that that group support can be valuable. But it is for you to reach into that pool. And exactly as Roger's saying, is it is personal. And for any of us to say, well, how you can prep for that and how you can use that is not for us to guide you. Because it can, once again, you can only be limited by our imagination. We can only stunt the possibilities by putting where we think you are in a box, rather than allowing you to go where you need to and where you know that you can.
Once again, Arthur, you have everything that you need to integrate the experience for yourself, and just the right people will come along. If there's someone that can support you with a particular thing, that person will arise in some way. There's not a program of something or a workshop or something that you need to go and repair the damage done in a mushroom journey, because there was no damage done. It was only good stuff. And we adjust to that new insight.
I just want to say something.
Mind. He thinks so deeply. You see.
Sorry about that. Something that's come to me with all these Soma at Home experiences that we are experiencing with this WhatsApp group that happens afterwards is, we always used to hold such a big thing with this integration. And I think how Anton mentioned that we're not going to tell you how to integrate or how you should live your life, but it's very important for you to integrate the messages that you've been given into your life. So I like to use a very simple example, and that is, people who've heard me will hear this story over and over again, but it's a very easy one. Soma says, or mushrooms, or the divine, or God, however you want to label that, says, don't fill your car up anymore in the morning. Make a habit of filling your car up in the evening before you go home at night. And you may, nothing's going to happen if you don't change that. But what could happen is, in 2 years' time, there could be an emergency. And because you've changed that habit of not filling your car in the morning, but filling your car at night, you were able to hop into the car at the drop of the hat at 2 o'clock in the morning, and your car was full, and you could go straight to the emergency. There was none of this fumbling to try and now fill your car to get to the emergency. And that's just a small example of how small the integrations are actually in your life. They're not these massive, oh, I've got to now go and quit my job and move my town and chop all the trees down in my front yard and plant monoculture. No, it's nothing like that. It's the small things, but it's up to you. And the term integration is not, oh, I'm going to tell you that you need to go walk on the beach now for the next week, every Tuesday and every Thursday. No, the integration is up to you to understand what needs to be integrated into your life to make a better you, to make a better environment, to make a better life for yourself. So for me, that integration, even though we have this time of integration, as I call it, after the ceremony, we're actually giving it all to each other by sharing our experiences, by someone a week later saying, oh, you know, I experienced this incredible ups and downs and this day, and someone else goes, oh my word, I was feeling the exact same thing. So there's this really lovely support, and it's not just from us watchers who seem to be more important just because we have more experience. No, actually, support is actually coming from each other. And how Monica says, we're actually all the same. We're just there for each other
offering a little bit of advice, because we have that, we may have walked that path before, maybe not the same one, but one parallel to what you're walking down. So that's my thought on integration.
Thank you. Thank you. I've got a final thought, if there are no questions, anybody else. Regarding this hard work and what you can experience in a journey, hard work is normally arriving. Just pitch up.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't have to do the work because it presents itself, but you do have to arrive. And arriving could mean that you have a really blissful experience, so that you have a belief that living your life in a slightly different way is worth it. But it simply means that you have to arrive. Rodianne and I have the story that we hate the word manifest. It's very much used in the spiritual community as, well, I'm going to manifest everything. This magical life that I want, I'm going to manifest it. Mm. And we had a conversation once where someone was trying to convince us that they can manifest a cup of coffee. Well, it's just going to arrive. I'm going to manifest a cup of coffee in my life. And our understanding of manifest is you still need to do the hard work. And the example we use is the cup of coffee. You still need to walk out into the road to get the cup of coffee. And if you're going to just sit back and wait for life to arrive, Zoma helps with this connection to give you the courage, to allow you to see the beauty, to allow you to see the path that you need to step next to go and manifest whatever you need to create in your life.
Just bearing in mind, getting dressed and up out of your bed just to walk out the front door could be the hardest thing you've done in your whole life, to bump into the person who's holding a coffee in the street. You know, so that sober journey that is so tough could be getting dressed in the morning and getting out of bed and actually walking into the street to find someone who bought a cup of coffee and that person's gone because they were too long. Now they're going to give you the coffee. So the hard work is arriving. It's that getting up and getting out of bed and showing up. That's the tough part.
Thank you. Any last words from our watchers, from our panelists, Roger, Bianca, Monica, Rodianne?
You've just been speaking.
Maybe some last words from Roger and Bianca, even if it's a goodbye. I would love to hear your voices and just any closing comments you may have.
Look, all I want to say is, if you are thinking of doing a Soma journey for the first time, or any time actually, wow, what a gift you're giving yourself.
Thank you, Roger. Bianca, any last waves?
Yeah, so I just think, well done on all of you for having the courage to just be here tonight, and I hope to see you on the 3rd of October. It's going to be a magic night, so let's catch up there and be safe for the time being, and just, yeah, prepare yourself and trust the process, and I'm looking forward to meeting up again.
Monica, yes.
Now say it's not the 3rd of October, it's the 2nd of October. I had to quickly check my diary because I hardly know what day of the week it is, but I was sure it wasn't on the 3rd.
Thank you.
Thank you, the 2nd. Any last thoughts from you, Monica?
No, I've said too much already. I have nothing more to say. I could talk till the sun comes up.
We love that. We appreciate
it. But I'll discipline myself and keep quiet.
Thank you, Monica. Rodianne?
No, just thank you, everybody, for being here. It really, really does make it worthwhile for Anton and I to keep doing this, because every time we have these information sharing evenings and new faces arrive, it keeps us
keeps us on track and keeps us knowing that there are people that will come and join us and do the best thing they can for themselves at the end of the day. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, everybody. And we'll be in touch. We look forward to seeing you on the 2nd of October or the next date that's after that. And thank you all for being here. Lots and lots of love from all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
See you again sometime.
Bye-bye.